This is the Faith Conversations podcast. Here, we bring people of faith to the table for honest and authentic conversations about personal faith journeys and what it is like to have a personal relationship with God. Hi, friends. Welcome to the Faith Conversations podcast. This is Jessica Cabrera, your host. I am super excited to be here today with Dana Hudson, my guest. Dana was part of the original Faith Conversations in-person event that this whole podcast spun off of. So before we had the podcast, we did a four-week series in person called Faith Conversations, and it was just people testifying to the work of the Lord in their lives and telling their faith journey stories from a stage. And it was so beautiful and so many wonderful things came out of it that it ended up turning into this podcast. So Dana was part of that cohort of women who shared during those events, and her story is just so engaging. So I cannot wait for you to hear it. And I'm going to give you a teaser later on in today's episode. She is going to share with you an experience that she had on a beach, and it is breathtaking. Like, just wait. I can't wait for you to hear it. So Dana, thank you so much for being here with us today. I can't wait for folks to hear your story.
Thank you, Jessica, for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Okay. Now, I know that you came into a faith relationship with the Lord as an adult, but I would love for you to paint the picture for our listeners of your background and then how you came into a faith relationship with Jesus.
Sure. So I came into the relationship, as you said, as an older person. I was 40 when I came to know Jesus as a person.
40 is so young.
It is. It's getting younger by the minute. And I grew up in the Episcopalian tradition.
Okay.
And I was what you would fondly call a creaster. My parents took us to church on Christmas and Easter. I was baptized and I went through confirmation and I was good.
That
was good. Once I was confirmed and after I got married, I have to say I would never went back to church except for Christmas and Easter. Then we had
Did you go to on Christmas and Easter?
Oh, yeah.
Like regularly year to year?
Oh, me, the grandmother, the mother, the parents. Okay. You know, that was our that was our big Christmas,
that was what you did.
Christmas and Easter.
Okay.
And then after my husband and I had the kids, we started going back to church once they got into like preschool.
Okay.
Don't ask me why, but we just thought that's what we're supposed to do.
A lot of people do that. Yeah. They have kids and it's like, we should start going to church now.
Right.
Okay.
You know, and we were taking them on Christmas and Easter too, but now we thought they need to go to preschool because they have to get confirmed, you know, because they got to do the thing. So we were back in church at our little Episcopalian church. Well, in the meantime, I went down to visit my brother and sister-in-law in Atlanta.
Okay. Oh, quick question. Where are you from?
Virginia.
Native
Northern Virginia.
Oh, man. Yes. Okay. So anyone listening, we're in Northern Virginia right now. And this is a very transient area because we're so close to Washington, D.C. So it's very rare to find someone who is born and raised in this area.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you're one of the rare gems.
Yeah, a gem. That's it. That's me.
Okay. So you were visiting family in
Atlanta.
Georgia,
in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Okay. And my sister-in-law had just had her own faith revelation maybe a year before.
Okay. Your brother's wife.
Yes.
Got it.
Her name is Suzanne.
Okay.
So Suzanne was telling me all about, I was down there visiting because they had a new baby. So I was down visiting. She kept going on and on and on about this Bible study that she had been doing that she really thought I would enjoy. And she kept on and on. And finally I said, Suzanne, we go to the Episcopal church. There is no Bible study. I live in Northern Virginia. Like, I don't know where I'm going to find a Bible study. So I'm grateful for you to tell me all this, but I don't know how I'm going to execute any of this.
Mm-hmm.
So I came home. Of course, the study was a Beth Moore.
Oh,
it was okay. The Breaking Free.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm familiar with that one.
A lot of us are. I came home. Jessica, you can't make this up. I went to church that next Sunday, and our rector's wife, I was friends with, and during coffee hour she was kind of moving around. She came up to me and she kind of whispered in my ear and she said, hey, I'm thinking about doing a Bible study. She's like, if I did a Bible study, would you come? And I just was kind of standing there like, we don't do Bible studies in this church. I do not know what is happening right now. And she said, the study's Beth Moore breaking free. I was like,
oh my gosh.
I've got goosebumps right now just thinking about it.
Yes.
And I was like, well, I have to do this thing. I mean, Suzanne told me.
Wow.
And it was during that study. And I'm here to tell you that that church hasn't had a Bible study since then.
Wow. The Holy Spirit stirred in that woman's mind and heart to do this thing that had never been done. And it was, and somehow she found that particular study.
Yes.
And God orchestrated.
Yes.
Yeah. From Atlanta, Georgia.
Yes. To Northern Virginia.
To Northern Virginia.
In my little Episcopal
people,
church.
The little Episcopal church that had never done a Bible study.
And it was through that study that I came to know Jesus as my Savior and realized, oh my gosh, like he is real. Mm. Like this is real. Like there's so much more than Christmas and Easter.
Right. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. I have to know a little bit more about that. So you're doing this study and you say it was through the study that I came to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Was it like a progressive thing over time? Was there a particular like day or moment that captured your mind and heart? Do you recall anything specific?
I do. So, you know, as your typical teenage person, typical teenager, young adult growing up in Northern Virginia, it's very performance based. Everything's very, you know, it's the facade. It's like, are you getting in the right school? Are you in the right clubs? Do you do the right sports? And are you good at all of that? And blah, blah, blah. My folks were a little bit the same, right? It was all just sort of about keeping up the appearances. Well, I mean, there was a lot going on in my life that, you know, mother and daddy would have died if those things had come to light, right? Because I was not keeping up the appearance. And I was carrying around a lot of guilt and shame, even at 40.
Okay, yeah, that carried with
you. Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Right? And so what happened, as I was going through that study is very much about breaking free from guilt and shame and things in your past, right? And as I was going through it, I do remember, Jessica, I was sitting on my back porch. It was a summer morning. And I don't remember exactly what I read in that day, but it took me to my knees. I just tearfully cried out to Jesus and said, thank you for forgiving me. And yes, I repent. And yes, I want to be your child. And yes, I want to be covered in your mercy and your grace. And the guilt and shame almost immediately evaporated.
It lifted. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. I love that you can, I can see it. You guys, I know we don't have video with this podcast, but I'm sitting here looking at Dana and it's like I can see her close her eyes and put herself back in that moment of when he delivered her from that guilt and shame she was carrying and really gave her the freedom that is found in him. And it is just, it is something that is very hard to articulate into words. But if you are a person listening right now and you have been carrying guilt and shame around, we want you to know that he delivers you from these things, and surrendering to him. And you can hear that she repented and she asked for forgiveness and then he claimed her heart. And that's just a beautiful thing. So man, whoo, thanks for sharing that. That was amazing. Okay. So you were 40 years old. You did this Beth Moore study. There was a point in time during the study where the truth became clear to you. You fell to your knees. You asked for forgiveness. You repented of your sins. You asked him to move in and take over, and he did. And from that point forward, you've been walking with him.
I have.
And any regrets?
No regrets.
No. Of course not. Well, it's a weird question to ask, but I think some people wonder, at least for me, when I was on my journey of deliberating whether or not I was going to actually surrender to the Lord, I was afraid that I would regret it. I was afraid that things would happen in my life or that changes would take place in my life that weren't what I wanted. And that was one of the things that was holding me back. I actually think that the question, do you have any regrets, is a relevant one because a lot of people struggle with that idea. And so no regrets?
No regrets. And you're right. I have family members who still are struggling, not struggling, grappling mm-hmm. with that decision, because they've watched all of us one by one sort of, you know, bend and come to Jesus.
Yeah.
And we have one that is still out there, because I think he's just afraid that, like, God's going to take away the stuff that he likes.
Mm.
And we try to tell him, like, no, the Lord's going to change your heart. Mm-hmm. And if there are things that need to be taken away, you're not going to even want mm-hmm. to do it anymore.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. I had that experience as well. So after the age of 40, tell us more about what this looked like in real time. Like, you come to Jesus and now things are, you know, you've turned a page in your life spiritually. Tell us what that looks like for you and how you experience God. What is it? What would you like to share with us?
If I can, two things.
Okay.
So my children were young, and so they have never known anybody but mom with Jesus.
Yeah.
My husband married Creaster.
Yeah.
and he's a scientist.
Uh-huh.
He was a non-believer. He hadn't yet. He wasn't an atheist, but he believed that there was God, but he didn't believe that there could be a personal. Mm. He just struggled.
Right.
And now he's married, and I am an extrovert, and I am what some people may call, like, I have an evangelistic spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just want people to know. I mean, I was under such bondage of that shame and that guilt, and I was experiencing such freedom that I just wanted to
shout
share.
It from the mountaintop.
Oh my gosh. So I was like the crazy church Jesus lady, not really, but just very on fire for wanting to share. So
your husband's like, what happened to my wife?
My husband was like, I did not sign up for this.
Right. Yeah.
But in a sweet way, you know,
so I get it.
We kept going to church, like, now we're going to church every Sunday. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not just Creasters. The kids I'm teaching, like, Bible study at the EYC, which is the youth group for the Episcopal Church.
Mm-hmm.
My pastor, and this is, I'm not kidding. And they don't call them pastors. They call them rectors. At one point, I went into my rector's office and I said, I want to be baptized. And he's like, Dana, we've already done that. Like, you already did that. You did that as a baby. And I'm like, I know, but I didn't know what was happening then. But now I know what's happening and I want to be baptized. And he goes, we don't do that here. And one of the other pastors at one point told me I might want to try the Baptist church down the road.
Oh.
So it was a little bit of a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And
did you feel out of place? Obviously, in that scenario, you felt out of place. But, like, just in general, you were still attending this church. But had people around you had an experience like yours? Or was your lived experience very different from those that were around you?
There were definitely people that loved Jesus there.
Mm-hmm.
And there were definitely people that had a relationship with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But as a whole, it was a lot about works.
Mm-hmm.
Very generous church, generous with their time. Always a lot of activities, ways to give into the community, all of that. But I didn't feel like there were people super connected to Jesus mm-hmm. on a daily basis.
Right.
And I felt a little bit like I was on an island mm-hmm. from that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
There were two other people there that I bonded with
mm-hmm.
and we started an intercessory prayer mm-hmm. team. And, you know, we did all the things, but it was, there were three of us.
Right, right. Yeah, that's interesting. I completely understand. I also had a church experience where I kind of came into the church going, wait, first of all, why didn't anybody tell me about this? And then second of all, what are we doing here? Like, are other people need to know about this too, you know? And so there was a kind of a reconciling with the church that I was attending of understanding at what is my role in this context, but beautiful people, beautiful things happening in the community and everything else, but just feeling like they're the whole biblical perspective of the gospel and what the Bible has to say was not fully delivered at the time. And I was kind of struggling with that a little bit. And I've interviewed a lot of people on this podcast who've had different types of experiences. But what I love is that it, God is the same and he pursues us regardless of mm-hmm. where we are, regardless of what we're doing. And I'm sure in this case, you were a light in your area. You know, more people were able to engage in their faith relationship with God because they were watching you figure it out, you know, and I think the same was true for me. People were like, wait, what just happened to Jessica, you know, yes. And suddenly I'm doing all these things, and more people were starting to engage because of the fact that there was someone who was kind of moving and shaking
yes.
in that church at the time. So that's super interesting. Okay. Now you wanted to be baptized and you experienced this kind of mm-hmm. isolating type of response. And what happened after that? And where did that take you in yeah. your faith journey?
Well, fast forward, I kept praying, you know, and asking the Lord, should we go somewhere else? Should we be somewhere else? What should we be doing? My husband's still agnostic. My kids, I mean, I'm teaching them all about Jesus. Mm-hmm. At this point, God kept us in that church for 10 years. Mm-hmm. Finally, we had the freedom and I had the peace to come to the church that we attend now. Mm-hmm. And this is where my husband came to know Jesus, mm-hmm. Through just, you know, going through scripture, mm-hmm. you know, my kids have both accepted Christ. So now we're going and blowing, right? Mm-hmm. Now the whole family's going, we're going,
Trailblazing for the family.
Right. And
for Jesus,
life is so not boring mm-hmm. when you live it with him and let him work through you. It's so incredible. Mm-hmm. And so during that course of that time, you know, people were pouring into us as a family and into me as a woman. This is how you pray. This is, you know, I went to Bible study here. I started learning more about the Lord. I mean, I was an immature Christian, which mm-hmm. is fine, but mm-hmm. I've grown exponentially in the past 20 years. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, knowing, being able to recognize Jesus when he's moving
yes.
in your life. It's incredible.
Yes. Yes. The word recognize is actually used in the Bible by Jesus when he talks about people recognizing me, you know, those that recognize me versus those that don't recognize me. And I find that to be very fascinating, because the more you are in relationship with him, the more you can kind of look around and you start to recognize that he's moving, he's involved, he's doing things, and he can do that, you know, even as in your own journey. Okay, I've got to get to this beach story, okay? So I've heard this story, but I need you to tell our listeners, what was the setting, what was going on in your life at the time, and then tell them what happened on the beach that day.
Okay, so I've been growing with Jesus mm-hmm. throughout this time. I worked in a big biotech company. Mm-hmm. In corporate. Mm-hmm. And I had just a restlessness in my spirit probably for 3 or 4 years. Couldn't quench it. Didn't know what it was. Kept moving around, took a different job within the organization, kept doing all these things, and mm-hmm. it just would not go away. So luckily.
And were you still living in the Northern Virginia
yes,
area?
Okay. Yes. Luckily, it was just a blessing. This company that I worked for would give the employees a sabbatical every 3 years. So I was facing my sabbatical, which was going to give me a few weeks off. And it was in March. And I was just asking, I kept praying, like, what do you want me to do? Like, what is this restlessness? Like, why won't it go away? Like, what is happening? So we went away. We were at an Eastern Shore beach in March, which is not delightful. It was kind of cold and, you know, cloudy and kind of rainy. But I was sitting out on the beach one morning with my Bible, just reading and just contemplating, okay, Lord, now I've got some quiet time. Like, could you please just tell me what it is that you would like me to do?
And it was all about your career.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was about my career, because mm-hmm. I'm like, what is this restlessness? Like, I just feel restless in my yeah. job. Like, what?
Unsettled.
Unsettled. Mm-hmm. Unsettled. And I still loved my job. Mm-hmm. It's not that I didn't like it. Yep. I just felt like there was something nagging. So I'm out there on the beach by myself, and it's cloudy and misty and cold. And I've got a blanket and I've got my Bible, and I'm just reading. And I look off to my right, way a mile down the beach, and I saw like this little speck. And didn't pay it much mind. And then as I kept reading, like the speck, you know, in my peripheral vision, it kept getting like closer, 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 closer. Finally, I look up and I realize it's two young men. And I'm like, what are they doing? Like, there's nobody on this beach. Mm-hmm. And they stopped right in front of me and my little beach chair. And they, one of them keeps walking and one of them stays stationary. And they unfurl this, they had this PVC pipe and they had this net in between this PVC pipe. And they went out into the ocean and like proceeded to like cast this net out into the ocean. And y'all, I was reading Matthew where he said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. I'm asking the Lord, what are you going to have me do? What would you have me do? What would you have me do? And I'm reading the story about how Jesus said he was going to make them fishers of men. And then I've got these two dudes with PVC pipe, like fishing in front of me in the Atlantic Ocean. I slammed that Bible shut so fast. It was freaky. I'm like, Lord, I don't know what you're saying, but this is just too much for me. I cannot take this. This is too much. I slammed my Bible, got my folding chair and went up to the house. And I told my husband, I think I'm supposed to quit my job. And he's like, you need to sit down. I don't know what was going on in that beach, but you need to tell me what is happening.
Whoa.
And it was such a clear God speaking to me.
Yeah, you look in the Bible and it's talking about casting a net.
And I'm watching it.
And then you look up and there's guys casting a net.
Who does that, y'all? It wasn't normal surf fishing with your normal rod and reel. They had two pieces of PVC pipe with a net.
Yeah.
The Lord he's got a sense of humor.
Yeah. And it's also, you know, I find that God tends to be somewhat thematic in how he communicates to different people. And so it seems with you, just from the two stories that you've told of your sister-in-law and then the woman at church, both coming with this crazy scenario of her saying you should do a Bible study and the one I'm doing is Beth Moore Breaking Free, and then the woman at your church whispers in your ear, I'm thinking of doing a Bible study, Beth Moore Breaking Free. You know, that's an completely, you know, very unusual scenario, right? Of alignment. And then here you are, he aligns what you're reading in the Bible of two men fishing with a net, and as they're fishing with a net, Jesus says to them, I will make you fishers of men.
Yes.
Instead of fishers of fish, right?
Yes.
And as you're reading about these two men who are fishing with a net and Jesus talking to them, you look up and there are two men fishing with a net right in front of you.
Yes.
And these are, it seems like God's theme of how he communicates with you whenever he's calling you into something new. So you tell your husband that you think you should quit your job, and then that sends you in a whole new spiral.
I mean,
that's wild.
Well, yeah. And so just to like put a pinpoint on it, because if you think about it, I still didn't know what God wanted me to do.
Yeah.
Like that was dramatic. Like, okay, I saw that.
You know,
I mean, it was like a skillet to the head. Like, okay, I hear you. You're speaking. I still don't
know what that means. Right.
And so I'm not kidding y'all, the next Sunday we were in church and we're still at the Episcopal church at this point when this happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I am just reading ahead. I'm like in Proverbs while they're doing talking about something, and I'm just reading ahead. And then there's the proverb. I can't remember. I think it's 20. I'm not a good person of remembering and memorizing
the numbers. Right.
But the proverb was, quit wearing yourself out trying to get rich. Be wise and know when to quit.
Wow.
So that's when I told my husband,
wow,
I'm quitting. Like,
wow.
I hear him. He wants me to quit. I don't know what he wants me to do, but he wants me to quit what I'm doing right now.
Mm.
And I went to my work and said, I've got to go.
You left the executive position.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So then what happened? Just to not leave you hanging.
Right. Cliffhanger.
Yeah. I still didn't know what I was supposed to do.
Right.
But I was obedient to him because I was afraid. My husband, who still wasn't a believer at the time, was sweet enough to be like, okay, like if you really think this is what you're hearing, it doesn't make any sense. We were getting ready to put kids in college. My job was the job that had the bigger salary. Like, it didn't make right. any sense. Mm-hmm. But my husband was like, okay. I sort of rolled around for a year and a half and tried to volunteer and do all these things that I thought he wanted me to be doing. Mm-hmm. But then my dad was diagnosed with cancer. Mm. And I had spent my whole career in oncology, and I helped my dad through his diagnosis, helped my family. And it was during that time that I was like, this is what you want me to do. I get it. Mm-hmm. So now I have a consultancy where I just help people navigate through a cancer diagnosis, and I can look back and see how the Lord has equipped me for this. He's right. given me all the training. He's given me all the opportunities. He's given me all the knowledge. And now I have an opportunity to talk to people who ask me hard questions
yeah.
about the mortality, and I am able to share the hope that is within me.
Right. Mm. What a beautiful journey of God holding your hand and then meeting you where you are in the moment that you need him most to direct your path, and then now to be in this place where you're, through your career, you're able to help others navigate some really difficult, challenging times mm-hmm. and speak truth into their life and hope into their life. So what would you say is one of the main characteristics of God that really stands out to you based on your time of walking with him?
Mm. His kindness, but his attention, I am seen by him.
Mm.
His personal love for each of us. And it's not just me. This is just how he loves me. It's like anybody that's a parent, right? You love your kids each differently, but you love them the same.
Right.
And that is what I have felt through mm-hmm. him, is just his unconditional love has been amazing.
Yeah, but it's not like a generic unconditional mm-mm. love. It's a very personalized, mm-hmm. yeah, mm-hmm. very intentional.
Mm-hmm. He's so personal.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a sense of humor. Like, I'm a goofball. Like, he has a mm-hmm. sense of humor. Like, he made us. Mm-hmm. So he knows how to interact with us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm a little dense. And, like, I needed the drama of two guys with a net.
Yeah.
Like, just reading it wasn't enough.
Yeah. And I can kind of see that, like, when you read that verse as well, you know, your heart had been prepared,
mm-hmm.
but then when you read that verse, it just struck a chord in your spirit, and you knew mm-hmm. that something has to change, and you courageously obeyed, even though you didn't understand. And he's worth following, you know?
Oh.
Yeah. He's worth following. Yeah. The life that we have with him is just so much richer than any life we could ever design for ourselves, is it not?
It's so much richer, and it's so much more interesting and exciting. And I have to say, I think I don't want to take credit for my husband's journey. It's his own journey. He's a scientist, and so it was quite a journey. However, I do believe that him watching us sort of step out in faith like that, the Lord provided. Both of our kids went through school. Nobody's got any college debt. Like, mm-hmm. it was the Lord showed up
mm-hmm.
in my obedience, where in my own earthly wisdom, I was like, I can't possibly do this. This does not make any sense. This is ridiculous. That's what all my coworkers were like. Are you nutty? What mm-hmm. what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
But I was able to tell them, look how he provided for us. And now I'm doing something that's so much more fulfilling than I could have possibly imagined.
Right. Yeah. That's beautiful. Well, I would love, as we wrap it up, you've now had these years of really experiencing him in very personal ways, and in not only a daily relationship, but in him guiding and leading you. If there's someone listening right now who's struggling, maybe they're hearing your story and they're thinking, that's nice for you, but I'm just not feeling it, or whatever the case is. What advice would you give to someone who might be struggling to believe right now?
I would say that if you really are struggling, try to be brave enough to really pay attention to what's going on around you, because God wants all of us in the family, not just a couple, not just somebody over there and a few over here. He wants everybody in the family. And so you may be struggling and challenged, but he's pursuing you, and he won't stop pursuing you until he's finished. And so this was for my husband. He was brave enough to sort of pay attention to what was happening around him. And it really made him start to think, because the Lord is kind and he's loving and he's merciful and he's faithful, and he wants you. And there's so much darkness in this world right now, Jessica. Like, there's so, I mean, nobody has to tell anybody how dark the world is. And it's hard to believe, you know, that it could be better. Accepting Jesus doesn't make the dark go away, but it sure does brighten up the spot that you're standing in. And it can give you just peace in the chaos that you could never imagine you could possibly have. And you don't have to do anything but say yes to him. That's all you have to do.
Yes. I've experienced that as well. Thank you so much, Dana, for sharing your faith journey with us today.
Thank you for having me, Jessica. God bless.
Go to the description of today's episode to find more information about what we discussed. If you like this podcast, please click follow, share it with a friend, or leave us a review. And get excited, because new episodes release every week.